There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsalamidis. I write for Greenspun Media Group. That's the Cats Report and Las Vegas Sun. I write for The Sunday, our news magazine. I write for Las Vegas Weekly, Las Vegas Magazine, and also our sister publication, Vegas Magazine, which is part of Niche Media. So I am one busy individual. I'm flying solo this week once more as Tricia McCrone. Due back next week. Is what I understand. I talked to Trish today. She's coming back next week. So it's Cats with a Dish, with dishing, but not with the dish. How's that sound? Joining me this week is one of our favorite guests, one of my favorite people in this city. He's the president of the Smith Center for the Performing Arts. That's Reynolds Hall. That's Cabaret Jazz. That's Troche Theater also over there. It's celebrating the Nevada's 150th birthday on Monday night with an all-star show. Here to talk about that and all kinds of other crazy happenings at the Smith Center is Myron Martin. Welcome back, Eminem.
Good morning. Hello, hello, hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. So, Cats with the Dish, and I thought you know, I would come in and Trish would be here, but she's not even here. So
she's not here. She's here in spirit. Trish is what she's been doing the last, I think, 3 years now. The family has a cabin up on Flathead Lake in Montana, so they head up there. And they recreate for the summer and get away from the heat. Trish has to stay out of the heat because she has lupus, so that is bad for her health-wise, and it's great for her health-wise to be in Montana where she's been emceeing wiener dog races, and she was Miss Spinnaker, which is a bar in the Kalispell Parade this summer, 4th of July Parade. So she's making a mark up there
in
Kalispell.
What a difference she's making.
Yeah, Flathead Lake.
Wiener dog races and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I miss her not being here.
I miss her not being
here. But, Cats, I'm going to talk to you anyway.
Good.
All right.
That is refreshing to know. Thank you for coming in today. I know
of course.
We live in a busy life, don't we, anymore?
But this Monday, the sesquicentennial show, the 150th birthday of the state of Nevada, it's a big, big show. We've got all kinds of people lined up, including living legends Wayne Newton and Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis
will both be in the show. Some of the strip's biggest names today, groups like Jersey Boys and Human Nature are going to be part of the show. Cirque du Soleil is producing a special segment for us, so we're really looking forward to celebrating the sesquicentennial.
Before we get to the specifically what people are going to be doing and how they're going to be folded into this show, Myron, how did it happen that the Smith Center was became the venue, and how was the decision made to have the show in the first place?
Well, so you go back a year or so. The governor was nice enough to appoint me to the Sesquicentennial Commission, and as we started planning for the year of events, there have been something like 450 sesquicentennial events around the state during this year, and it's coming to a close. And we said, how can we do something really big towards the end that would be kind of the punctuating mark on this great year of celebration? And frankly, I volunteered for the Smith Center to produce a show here in the entertainment capital of the world that would really make a statement about how far we've come as a state. So that's what we're doing.
Now, you take on this responsibility, and it is a huge responsibility. I know because of the lineup that you've assembled that this is not a part-time necessarily, even though it is in your hands, I guess, it's because you have a full-time job. But it's nothing for the hobbyist. What was your first move? What was the first thing you decided to do? How does one begin this process?
Well, you know, in my mind, I reflected back to 9/11. And back then, as you recall, a bunch of us got together, Wayne Newton and Frankie Shenta and Clint Holmes and a few others at Ruth Chris Steakhouse on 9/12, you know, the day after all of this happened.
Mm-hmm.
We said we've got to do something. We all came together at a time when our city really needed it. And on 11/11, two months to the day, which happened to be Veterans Day, we produced a major event with every single performer in Las Vegas participating. It was at the Mandalay Bay Event Center.
Brand new.
Which was new at the time. And we raised something like $300,000 for the USO because our friend Wayne Newton was hitting the road to go out and do a USO tour. And we figured who better than our troops at that moment in time could use a little help. So so that's where I started. I reflected on how we brought that show together. And I said, if there's ever an occasion to bring the entertainment community in Las Vegas together again, it's got to be for the 150th birthday celebration. So that's how it started.
And it's important when you're reaching out to these individuals. And I remember this distinctly before from the USO show. You have to emphasize the common good, how everybody – this is a neutral – everybody has interest in event at, unlike Mandalay Bay, a really neutral site. Did it make it a little bit easier to have it in your place?
It did. We no hotel casino complained about their artists coming to the Smith Center. In fact, I think most of them would tell you that it's good for their hotels and their artist to be part of something this big in a place as nice as the Smith Center. So you're right. It did help. But it still meant making lots of calls and follow-up calls and follow-up calls and reminders and a lot of begging. There was a lot of begging.
I won't ask to whom you had to beg, but I can imagine that it's a daunting process. So we have name checked a few, but we have Cirque involved.
Yep.
Jubilee.
Yeah.
Performers, cast members from Jersey Boys, as you mentioned, Million Dollar Quartet, Penn and Teller, members of Human Nature, Clint, Frankie Marino, good friends of ours, Bob Anderson, who's going to be doing his Sinatra show, right?
Yeah, Bob Anderson doing a bit from his new Sinatra show where this Japanese makeup artist came up with a way to make him look like Sinatra. You know, Bob Anderson has always been the best singing impressionist. And when he sings Sinatra, if you close your eyes, you think it might be Sinatra.
Right.
But when he gets into this makeup, it's unbelievable. And so Bob will be here as Sinatra, and what's really exciting is that he will be using Mr. Sinatra's music director himself, Vinny Falcone.
Vinny Falcone. Now, were you at the Venetian show that he did the Sinatra treatment?
I was in New York. I was out of town for it, but everyone's talking about it.
You know, that was one of those nights, Myron, and you can appreciate what this was like in that room, where you really felt like that was what it felt like in the old days. You really felt, I mean, you're looking around the room and people who knew Sinatra were into this show big time. I mean, we had Steve Lawrence and, you know, the Bonos or, you know, Dennis and Lorraine Hunt Bono were in, those types of people were in the audience. And it was one of those nights where you really were in the performance. And afterward, everybody went out together and we went to the Italian-American Club and hung out. So having Bob in there is a very I think it's a very important figure to have represented.
Well, I mean, first of all, if we're celebrating the best of the last 150 years, if we didn't include Mr. Sinatra and his role in Las Vegas, we would have missed out on something really big. So
absolutely,
didn't want to miss that. And Liberace, Phil Fortenberry, the guy who's the fingers of Liberace in the Candelabra movie. He's performing for us, not in costume, not with the glittery piano, literally just playing the music the way Liberace did. Because I don't think that many people realized what a good musician Liberace was.
Yeah, and Philip will be the first one to tell you this.
That's right. So Philip in a regular suit on a regular piano playing a Liberace piece, I think will show to the whole audience that Liberace really was a good musician.
And this, Philip is an example, and there are many others on here, especially Clint, for that matter, is the connection between the Smith Center and artists around the city. You know, these guys Philip's played a couple of times at the Cabaret Jazz, his one-man show, and he's coming back
in October.
And he also played at the Cabaret Room at the Liberace Museum, where you have a history also.
Yes,
it's all interconnected, and he was Liberace and me for a couple of years over there. So it stands to reason that he would be the one to do it.
Well, and you think about the Smith Center connections. I mean, not only do many of these people, like Clint Holmes, who plays in Cabaret Jazz nearly every month, like Lon Bronson. So as we said, we need this great backup band that can play for everybody. I immediately went to Lon Bronson, who performs, you know, in Cabaret Jazz on a regular basis, and said, "Hey, Lon, you want to be the band leader?" And he said, "Absolutely, sign me up." And he's got this amazing band put together, and including the Bella Strings, mm-hmm. who bring their magic.
Nina DiGregorio. Yeah, she put that group together, and they are terrific.
They're terrific. Yeah, they're terrific.
Yeah.
And in fact, Nina and the Strings will be accompanying Miss Nevada, Ellie Smith, singing the national anthem to kick off the night. So
she was in the room. She was at Cab Jazz this week at the cast party. So another interlocking relationship you have everywhere. We're going to take a quick break here, Myron. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to invite Josh Bell, our movie critic, to come in and do a couple minutes worth of film review work. And then we're going to be back. So stick around. I know we will.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva Las Vegas!
We got something eating like this, Greeny.
All right, calm.
No, okay. Why won't you tell me what's out there?
Just trying to protect you, man.
For your own good.
All right, you guys can't just keep me here.
We can't let you leave.
Why not?
That's Dylan O'Brien as Thomas in The Maze Runner. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Based on yet another young adult sci-fi book series, The Maze Runner is set in a mysterious world where teenage boys with no memories try to escape a deadly maze full of scorpion-like monsters known as Grievers. The movie suffers from a serious case of first chapteritis, as its entire running time is devoted to setup for a payoff that never arrives. The plot never gets out of second gear, and the eventual answers are meager and unfulfilling. I give The Maze Runner 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is A Walk Among the Tombstones, based on the 10th novel in Lawrence Block's series about private investigator Matthew Scudder, played by Liam Neeson.
So what, you're going to stab me now with that big knife?
It's going to bother me too, for a long time, I know it will.
How much is it going to bother you? I take that knife away and stick it in your neck.
Could you really do that?
Yeah, I really could, but I'd rather not.
Neeson nails Scudder's badassery, but he also brings out the character's haunted vulnerability as he tracks a pair of serial killers. Writer-director Scott Frank treats the material with sophistication and restraint, even when the story turns violent and potentially lurid. I give A Walk Among the Tombstones 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
There's 1,000 pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Welcome back. Sitting with me now is the president of the Smith Center for the Performing Arts in Symphony Park in downtown Las Vegas, Myron Martin.
You say that.
I'm excited about that place. It's right in my backyard now. You know that? I can see the Smith Center from my terrace.
Oh, nice.
I love it. I'm really involved in Las Vegas these days. So we're talking about the Sesquicentennial All-Star Celebration Monday night. What time does the show start, Myron?
Starts at 7 o'clock sharp.
7 p.m.
With this all-star lineup, we're so excited that so many of the best entertainers in Las Vegas have come out. But we're also blessed to have some folks joining us from up north.
Who outside of Las Vegas is going to be in this show?
Well, so again, as we're thinking about the last 150 years in Nevada, one of the figures that's highly prominent as someone who lived in our state is Mark Twain. And there's a guy named McAvoy Lane who lives up in Incline Village who is, the preeminent Mark Twain interpreter. He's going to come and do a short little piece. The world's greatest cowboy poet will be here, and his name is Waddy Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And Waddy was asked to create the Sesquicentennial poem. So he wrote this poem. And he'll be reading it for us live on Monday night. So that should be...
He wrote the poem for the event.
The poem for the event and in celebration of our 150th anniversary as a state. It's called Dame Nevada. And it's really great. And we don't get many opportunities in Las Vegas to hear a great cowboy poet.
No.
He's the best. He's the best. So I'm really, really thrilled he's going to be here. You mentioned Frankie Marino is going to be part of it.
Yes.
We have one little surprise, and speaking of the state, He's going to be joined for part of his segment by the Gilbert Magnet School, the elementary school choir. And imagine that, a bunch of little kids singing Home Means Nevada, the state song with our own Frankie Marino. That's going to be kind of cool and something you don't see every
day. Yeah, that's news to me. I hadn't heard anything about that. And then Frankie will play. You got my friend and colleague Norm Clark and I are going to be introducing somebody. Robin Leach is going to be involved in this show.
Yes.
I'm looking down the list, the Jersey Boys.
Mark Shunnock from Rock of Ages is going to be there.
The lead who plays Lonnie.
And Lee Zimmerman. So those have been around Las Vegas for a little while. Remember the beautiful, tall blonde who was the star of The Producers when he was here in town?
Ula.
She has been in London for the last year in a chorus line. And she just won the London equivalent of the Tony Award. It's called the Olivier Award for her performance in London. They are flying back this weekend to Las Vegas so that she and her husband,
Dominic Allen,
yeah, can join us at this celebration. So
they've been in England for a couple of years together now.
Yeah,
the whole family.
So
and their daughter is a great singer, Kaylee. She's going to be heard from. Yeah, so it'll be good to see them again.
But no doubt.
Yeah, everybody who saw Producers was blown away by her, and Dominic is a fantastic multi instrumentalist and singer also.
Well,
and studied with Liberace.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's part of what makes this interesting. Not only did he, on one side, tour with Foreigner, but on the flip side, he opened for Liberace and knew Liberace. So he's been part of this city's history as well. So we're proud of that. The Las Vegas Mass Choir, this amazing gospel choir, is going to be joining us. You don't want to miss that. And Antonio Fargas. Now, you know him.
I know.
But for people listening in, Antonio Fargas was Huggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch, and a fine, fine actor. He's going to come out and talk a little bit about the history, meaning that Nevada became a state during the Civil War. That's why our state flag today still says Battle Born. Nevada was battle born during the Civil War. President Lincoln wanted us as a state, and many people think that he wanted us for our silver, when in fact what he wanted us for was our votes. He was working on something called the Emancipation Proclamation, and he wanted to make sure that that got put through, and the follow-up, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, banning slavery. So Antonio Fargas is going to walk us through some of those important aspects, because I'm not sure people realize what an important role Nevada played in voting that particular thing in.
A lot of people, you know, that is kind of news to me even, you know, and that's going to be important for him to talk about. And then obviously with Clint's involvement and his heritage, famously from the father's a black jazz singer and mother's a British opera singer,
as he frequently says.
And it wouldn't be a complete show without Clint, absolutely.
Well, so Clint does the final musical number I'm not spoiling it for anybody. I don't think if I say that the last big musical number in the show is Hallelujah, as only Clint can do it. And what a perfect message, because we've started the show talking about being a state for 150 years and being a part of the Emancipation Proclamation. And by the way, Clint will talk about Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra and their role in desegregation in our country by Mr. Sinatra saying, hey, if Sammy doesn't stay in this hotel, I'm not going to stay in this hotel. It changed the entertainment community and the world back then. So there's a little bit of that, and you get to the end and you look back at the 2 hours of wonderful show, and you know what more can you say but hallelujah? So that's how Clint will end it. And it wouldn't be a celebration in Las Vegas without Mr. Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And so Wayne Newton is joining us, and he'll kind of sum up the evening and send us on our way.
Now, absolutely. That's a totally appropriate move, I think. And it'll be great to see Wayne just... Period.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, just hanging out with everybody.
Yeah, yeah, because he's been up in the Big Sky country for a couple of months. Tell me about, you know, a couple of years ago, or around the time, I guess I'll wind it back to around the time that the Smith Center opened. I was involved with Jerry Lewis, and I talked to Jerry pretty regularly. I'm one person who does have some regular contact with him. We're doing an interview before he was to appear. I think it was at the Orleans at the time. It was either Orleans or at the South Point. I'm getting my venues crossed up. But he was doing a PBS special that they were recording at the Orleans. And I had asked him about the Smith Center. And at that point, you know, with Lewis, with so many things going on, he was just getting Nutty Professor going, you know, in Nashville. And
traveling a lot.
Traveling. He was going to Australia at the time. He was just coming off the end of his run in the telethon with the MDA. And it really was, it didn't feel like it was on his radar, even though we were talking in his house and he lives about a mile away from the facility. So we kind of talked about it a little bit. And then I felt like he started edging his way over there, and he saw Carol Burnett and he saw Porgy and Bess. Then I saw him at Kinky Boots the other night. And then I saw him get his award from the Australian Muscular Dystrophy Foundation. Now he's becoming more and more ingrained in what you're doing over there. Tell me about what your relationship with him is like now. Not only is he appearing in this show, but you're going to have him do a one-off at the Big Room.
Well,
Reynolds Hall.
How great for our community to be able to spend a night with Jerry Lewis. I mean, he was just on The Tonight Show last night with Jimmy Kimmel and Jim Fallon. Sorry. And he just got a big award from the Friars Club in New York.
Right.
He got this award from the Australian government, their highest award in the lobby of the Smith Center, which was pretty cool. Certainly a living legend. You know, there's nobody in the entertainment bigger than Jerry Lewis. And for him to have kind of gotten into coming to the Smith Center on a regular basis means a lot to us. But I think presenting him on our stage will be one of my happier moments at the Smith Center because we get to say to our community, look at who we have, and he's one of us. He lives here. And by the way, if you don't have your tickets are available. It's on the 30th of the month, so it's only a couple of weeks away.
This is for Lewis's one night only.
For
show.
Jerry Lewis, one night only. He's going to show some clips. He's going to talk, and maybe most importantly, he's going to take questions from the audience. So if you've ever had a question about how he did something in The Nutty Professor or one of his films,
or
what it was like to hang out with Dean Martin or any of the rest, that's your chance. And I really hope, you've known me a long time. I don't know that I've ever said these words that I want people to turn out because I want this community to show our love for this man because he deserves it.
Right.
So if you hadn't bought a ticket in a while to come see something, or maybe you've never been to the Smith Center, come check out Jerry Lewis and help us give him a standing ovation when he walks on stage.
You know, it was amazing. And I agree 100% with everything you said, Myron. And I think it is an important moment in for our city, for our Performing Arts Center, to have this man, you know, do what he can do still for a night. And it is a compelling performance on many, many levels when you see Jerry Lewis go to his clips, talk about his clips, and especially interact with the audience.
Yeah.
It's never boring. If you have, I will give you a word of advice. Go easy on the praise of Jerry Lewis if you're behind a microphone, because he likes to cut to the chase. He wants the question. He wants to talk to you. The fact that you love him is fine, but we want a question. That is the truth. What else is happening over at the Smith Center? You want to talk about Mr. Martin? Anything else?
There is so much. So you remember when we first opened, one of my biggest challenges was getting the phone calls from people saying that they wanted to buy tickets for Wicked, and we were completely sold out. 48 performances,
every
six weeks, every single ticket for every single performance was sold out. So we're bringing it back. It'll be here in just a few weeks, and I've heard rumor that it's sold out. Here's the truth: if you go to our website and look by the day, you can find tickets on certain days. If you've never seen Wicked before, you should see it. If you've seen it before, you're probably already lined up to buy tickets to see it again because it's that good. And just after that, this year's Tony Award winner Pippin comes to Las Vegas. We only have it for 1 week. So if you want to see Pippin, jump online quickly because it's a show that will absolutely sell out as well. So a lot of good stuff going on the Broadway side. But on the pop music side, Gordon Lightfoot's going to be here.
I know. How about that? I know all my Canadian music fans are coming out of the woodwork right now.
Yeah. Well, and to hear him in an acoustically great hall like Reynolds Hall, I think will be a real treat. And And, you know, this is his 50th anniversary of going out on the road.
Wow.
50 years. So this is his 50th anniversary tour, Gordon Lightfoot. The Nevada Ballet Theater is in this week with their production. Maestro Cabrera, the new conductor of the Las Vegas Philharmonic,
right,
conducts his first concert on September 27th. So that'll be a great night for the Smith Center. And we were talking earlier about Lon Bronson. He brings his all-star band back to Cabaret Jazz on Friday, September 26th.
So, and Lon was the first of that type of band locally to get into that room, because he's quick to remind everybody
people love the combo,
as he says.
Yeah, exactly.
The combination, yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And a great, I want to ask you about a little bit about Cabaret Jazz. You guys have a different way of handling how shows are presented in Cab Jazz these days than you did at the beginning. Explain how that is, because I think this is important for people to know. You basically four-wall Cab Jazz these days for the most part, right? Is it release it out?
It depends on the show. So,
okay.
So the international touring attractions that come through Las Vegas, you know, when Branford Marsalis is touring, mm-hmm. and people like that.
Or Sandoval.
That's right. We mm-hmm. just had Arturo Sandoval. The Smith Center presented those concerts as we always have.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gotten a lot more interested, because our audiences are a lot more interested in the Lon Bronsons, mm-hmm. and the Composer's Showcase,
right,
which happens once a month on a Wednesday, mm-hmm. and other kind of local
Dave
events.
Dave Perico, Pop Evolution.
Pop Evolution.
Outstanding presentation in there.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And Cabaret Jazz was built for live music.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard some of the best say it's the best sounding live music club, mm-hmm. in America, because it's only 240 seats.
Exactly.
When you come in there to hear music, you hear it really well,
mm-hmm.
and we're really proud of it. So has it changed? Only from that standpoint. We still have small little cocktail tables,
mm-hmm.
four chairs.
Mm-hmm.
You can order drinks at your seats,
yep.
and little snacks. So it's more of a jazz club than a theater. You know, every once in a while, somebody says, "I'm playing at the Cabaret Jazz Theater." Well, we don't call it that. We just call it Cabaret Jazz, because that suggests that it's more like a jazz club, which is exactly what it is.
Right. Well, we were in there with Jim Caruso, and his cast party was back this week, as well, as we mentioned earlier. And he just goes on and on about the room. And he's taken the cast party everywhere. I mean, he's been all over the country with it. And
he's
loves
been all
coming
over
back.
The country. And he makes his home at Birdland, which is, as jazz clubs go, about as good
yeah.
as they come.
Mm-hmm. They've been doing it there for 10 years. Yeah.
Another guy coming into Cabaret Jazz. So if you remember on opening night, and if you were there live, or if you saw it on Vegas PBS, there was this core of Broadway stars that did a couple of numbers mm-hmm. through the evening, one of which is Cheyenne Jackson.
Yes.
I mean, really, one of the amazing stars of Broadway and a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming in to do his show in Cabaret Jazz coming up. Well, let's see. When's he coming? October the 11th.
Okay.
So lots and lots of stuff going on in all of the rooms.
And
we hope people come check it out.
It's always busy down there. Everything is top-notch, and I find myself down there quite a bit. And we're going to be down there Monday night again for a very important show, the Sesquicentennial Celebration. On Monday night, and keep your eyes open for that Jerry Lewis show on the 30th, folks. I'm not kidding. You will want to see this. It's a very special night. And thank you to a very special person, a good buddy of mine, Myron Martin. We'll do this again when we have a lot more to talk about, huh? Thanks, Myron.
All right.